Joss Merlin was drunk for 5 days. He lay stretched out on a bed in the kitchen, sleeping with his mouth wide open, and the sound of his breathing could be heard from the bedrooms above. About 5 in the evening he would wake for 30 minutes or so, shouting for brandy and sobbing like a child. Aunt Patience became another woman, showing a calm coolness and a presence of mind. She gave herself up entirely to nursing her husband. The weather was cold and grey, but on the 5th morning the wind dropped and the sun shone, and Mary decided to brave the moors again. She had walked for 1 hour and was leaning against a gate watching some ponies, when she saw a man coming down the track. She was about to move and continue her walk when he waved and shouted to her. It was Jem Merlin. There was no time to escape, and she stood where she was until he came to her. He laughed at her.
"So you've found your way to me, have you? I didn't expect you so soon. What'd you have done if I hadn't been at home?"
Mary could not help smiling.
"I didn't even know you lived here. I'd have turned left if I'd known."
"I don't believe you. You started out with the hope of sighting me, and it's no use pretending any different. Well, you've come at a good time to cook my dinner. There's a piece of mutton in the kitchen. I suppose you can cook."
Mary looked him up and down.
"Do you always make use of folk this way?"
He led the way up the mud track, and, rounding the corner, they came to a small grey cottage on the side of a hill. Once inside, Mary looked about her in dismay. The floor was filthy. In 30 minutes she had the kitchen scrubbed clean, and the mutton boiling in the saucepan on the fire, surrounded by potato and turnip. Jem came in at the door, sniffing the air like a hungry dog.
"Will you leave your aunt? Come look after me."
"You'd have to pay me too much," Mary countered. "You'd never have money enough for what I'd ask."
She put the steaming mutton down in front of him, and he smacked his lips.
"We were all born here,"
Jem said, jerking his head to the ceiling.
"I was an afterthought. Father got drunk at Launceston Fair after selling 3 cows that didn't belong to him. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now."
Mary got up and began to clear away the plates.
"How's the landlord of Jamaica Inn?"
said Jem, tilting back on his chair and watching her dip the plates in water.
"Drunk, like his father before him?" "That'll be the ruin of Joss,"
said his brother seriously.
"He soaks himself insensible, but when he comes to, he's dangerous then. You look out for yourself."
"He'll not touch me. He's got other things to worry him."
Mary watched him over the plate she was wiping.
"We had Squire Bassett call last week."
Jem brought his chair to the ground with a crash.
"The devil you did."
She told him about the visit and how the squire seemed disappointed not to find anything.
"He asked after you as it happened, and I told him I'd never set eyes on you."
Jem's expression was blank as Mary told her tale, but at the mention of his name he laughed.
"Why do you lie to him?
Seem less trouble. But you've got nothing to hide, have you?"
"Nothing much, except that black pony you saw by the brook belongs to him,"
said Jem carelessly. The pony had been dapple grey last week, he told her. He'd make a few pounds with him at Launceston on Christmas Eve. The dealers there would swallow him up.
It was lucky for Joss the stuff had been shifted. It's only a matter of time before they catch him. All he does is get drunk like a damn fool."
Mary said nothing. If Jem was trying to tap her by this exhibition of frankness, he would be disappointed.
"Why are you so silent about it all? Damn it, Mary, you're not blind or deaf. Even a child would smell a rat if he lived 1 month at Jamaica Inn.
What are you trying to make me tell you? As for your brother, his life is his own, and so is his business. Nothing to do with me."
Jem whistled,
and kicked at a loose stone with his foot. "So smuggling don't appall you. But supposing it was a question of life and death, and perhaps murder. What then?"
He turned round and faced her. His eyes were grave, but she could not read what lay behind them.
"I don't know what you mean."
He looked at her for a long time without speaking.
"Perhaps not. But you'll come to know if you stay long enough. Why does your aunt look like a living ghost? Ask her next time the wind blows from the northwest."
So there was something behind the smuggling after all. The stranger in the bar that night had talked of murder, and now Jem himself had echoed his words. The conversation had cast a shadow on her day. She began to walk slowly down the hill when she heard his running footsteps behind her.
"What's the matter with you?"
He took her chin in his hands and looked into her face.
"I believe you're frightened of me. We're a desperate lot of fellows, we Merlins, and Jem is the worst of the pack. Is that what you're thinking?"
She smiled in spite of herself.
"Something of the sort. I'd even like you if you didn't remind me so much of your brother." "I can't help my face, and I'm much better looking than Joss."
They arrived at the gate over the stream.
"Mary Yellen, you'll be coming to Launceston with me on Christmas Eve. You'll be best away from Jamaica in that day. Joss'll be recovering from his brandy bed by then and looking for trouble. I'll bring you home by midnight. Say you'll come, Mary."
"I make no promises,"
Mary said as she leapt boldly across the running brook and walked away up the hill without a backward glance. Darkness was falling as she crossed the high road and into the yard. The door of the kitchen was opened immediately by her aunt, who seemed pale and anxious.
"Your uncle has been asking for you all day. Where have you been?"
This was the old Aunt Patience, with nervous hands and twitching mouth, and Mary caught something of her agitation. She had been bold enough on the moors, but no sooner was she inside the inn than her courage left her. Mary looked towards the bed in the corner of the kitchen. It was empty. Joss had moved to the parlour. They ate their supper of cold pie early. The long evening passed, and there was no call from the landlord. Aunt Patience went up to bed, while Mary felt the lethargy of sleep steal upon her. When she woke, the kitchen was cold, and the candle had burnt low. As she stretched, she saw the door of the kitchen open very slowly, little by little, an inch at a time. Then it was flung wide, and Joss Merlin stood on the threshold of the room. Slowly he turned in her direction, and stared at her without speaking. His face was a grey mask, drained of its usual colour. His bloodshot eyes fastened themselves upon her without recognition. Mary waited, holding her breath. He stepped forward into the room, his hands feeling the air as he crept slowly towards her. He crouched down, staring down at her, and then he leant forward and touched her hair and her lips.
"Mary, is it you, Mary? Where have they gone? Have you seen them?"
"There's no one here. Only me."
He looked about him in the half-light, searching the corners of the room.
"They can't scare me. Dead men don't harm the living. They're blotted out, like a candle. That's it, isn't it, Mary?"
She nodded. He sat down, his arms outstretched on the table. He sighed heavily.
"His dreams, old dreams. The faces stand out like live things in the darkness. I'm thirsty, Mary. Go and fetch me some brandy."
When she returned, he filled his glass half full and watched her over the rim. He beckoned her to his side.
"You've got guts in you. I can see that. You're not scared like your aunt. We ought to be partners, you and I.
He seized hold of Mary's arm.
I have dreams. Nightmares. I see things that never scare me when I'm sober.
He had killed men with his own hand, beaten them with rocks and stones, and afterwards he had slept in his bed like a child. But when he was drunk, he saw them in his dreams.
There was a woman once. She was clinging to a raft and she had her child in her arms. Her hair was streaming down her back. The ship was close in on the rocks and the sea was as flat as your hand. She cried out for me to help her. And I smashed her face in with a stone. She let go of the child. I hit her again. They drowned in 4 feet of water. We were scared then that some of them would reach the shore. We had to pelt them all with stones, Mary. We had to break their arms and legs. And they drowned in front of us.
His face was close to Mary, his red-flecked eyes staring into hers.
Did you never hear of wreckers before?
Outside in the passage, the clock struck 1 o'clock.
That sound rings in my head. When it struck 1 just now, it was like the tolling of a bellboy in a bay. It's a mournful, weary sound. It rubs on your nerves. You have to muffle them to silence them. Maybe it's a misty night and there's a ship listening for the boy and no sound comes to her. She comes in then, driving through the fog. She comes straight into us who are waiting for her. We see her shudder suddenly and strike. And then the surf has her. Dead men tell no tales, Mary.
She felt deadly sick. Perhaps if she pressed her hands against her eyes, she would blot out his face and the pictures he had painted for her. She could hear the scream of terror and the cries. She could hear the mournful clamour of the bellboy as it swayed backwards and forwards in the sea. Mary and Aunt Patience shared a secret now. She had lost her fear of him. There was only loathing and disgust left in her heart. He had lost all hold on humanity. He was a beast that walked by night. Now that she had seen him drunk, and she knew him for what he was, he could not frighten her. That night, Mary had grown older.